Blog Talk Radio.
Have you heard of passive aerobics? Now you can build muscle, burn fat, and enjoy the benefits of jogging a mile and a half in just 10 minutes. That's right, you can accomplish your fitness goals easier than you've ever dreamed. With the state-of-the-art Vibe Pro and Qi Pro fitness machines that are lightweight and small enough for any home or office, if you sit most of the day and want a great workout, or if you suffer from tight muscles from your exercise program, you will benefit from these body-balancing machines that the Hollywood stars use to feel and look great. For the best you, go to besthealthgallery.com. Best products, prices, and service, that's besthealthgallery.com. Or call 480-888-6548. 480-888-6548. Build muscle, burn fat, and enjoy the benefits of jogging a mile and a half in just 10 minutes. Call 480-888-6548. BestHealthGallery.com.
Be a part of the next big technological breakthrough. Hi, I'm William Malik, President and CEO of Aurora Tech, a.k.a. Dr. Houdini on Vortex Network News. Free energy and anti-gravity technology now being developed at Aurora Tech will change the way we live and bring about a golden age for all mankind. Our motto, simply the most advanced technology on planet Earth. To get involved with great opportunities at Aurora Tech, please check out our website, auroratech.us. That's auroratech.us. auroratech.us. And call 480-474-4388. 480-474-4388. Simply the most advanced technology on planet Earth. auroratech.us.
Latest in conspiracies, cover-ups, suppressed technology, UFOs, and extraterrestrial contact. Vortex Network News with your hosts, Aurora Light and Dr. Houdini.
Live from the launching pad in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona, you're listening to VNN Vortex Network News. I'm your host, Aurora Light. Here with me in the studio is the one and only Dr. Houdini.
And good evening, Aurora.
Well, good evening, Dr. Houdini. So, yeah, the holiday season has been jamming on here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people getting in the mood, I suppose.
Right? Oh, yeah. Well, everyone is in a very happy, upbeat situation here.
Except for the Hillary supporters.
Look, she lost. Get over it.
They're ready to kill. They're ready to go for blood.
They still think they can get in. I mean,
well, when you realize there's no free lunches, you got to earn everything in life. And that's pretty much the way it rolls. You know, we can't have 80% of our people taking from the 20%.
Right.
It's not going to work.
Well, you know, they just think they can drive up the debt. You know,
well, here's the deal.
Astronomical level.
You know what's amazing is when I traveled to Great Britain, you know, our economy is so much better than other places in the world, that when I traveled to Great Britain and was in the people's homes there, I was amazing. They had threadbare furniture in upper class homes because they don't run out and buy new things every 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, no. When they buy something, you know, they buy some quality, and then they keep it for, 500 years. So it's interesting to me to see the difference in the throwaway mentality.
Right.
That we have here in the United States that you just replace constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was over there, I was like, wow, these people are so much more frugal. Even the middle class lives much lower standard than our lower class does here. The middle class over there does not have all the perks that the lower class has here.
Mm-hmm.
The people by that I mean people whose incomes are very limited, live better here than the middle class does in most of the world.
Well, you know, with Trump getting in, things are going to really improve here.
Well, they'll improve because there'll be opportunities
for
improvement. Up till now, there wasn't any opportunities.
Well, they just kept on cutting back and cutting back and cutting back.
Well, I think the agenda was to strip us down and to that we accept almost anything, and we have.
Well, they wanted to turn it into a big socialist utopia.
Well, they have already let in millions of immigrants from all over the world and forced them into our communities without our permission.
Right.
And it's insane what's been going on that nobody even knows about, really. Because they don't allow you to have any input. There's just one day you wake up, there's a mosque in your neighborhood, and then there's a couple thousand new people.
And then they compromised a lot of these mainstream churches, okay, with millions of dollars and say, here, go build a mosque.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, they compromised the church here.
In
many aspects.
Right. And I think that the problem is not going to be solved very easily because, you know, once you get the toothpaste out of the tube, it's pretty hard to put it back in.
Right. But I think Trump is going to deal with a lot of this.
There
will
be some dealing, wheeling and dealing going on here, trying to remedy things as best as possible, but it's never going to be the same, let's face it. It may be... there may be remedies imposed, but, you know, I don't think it'll ever be the way it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 50 years ago because there's been this leakage that's been going on for so long of these people into our country that have no interest in upholding the Constitution of really being true Americans.
Well, that's called globalization.
They would like Sharia law, I mean, here to run the United States.
Right.
And it used to be, unless you had allegiance to the United States, you couldn't even come into this country.
No. No, no. You had pledge allegiance.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And that's been completely done away with.
It's got to be reinstated.
Right.
We can't have these people who are subversives welcome them in as though, you know, they're people who we want to have on board the ship. You got to respect the laws. If you're aboard a ship on, you know, out on sea, you know, there's certain laws you got to agree. You got to have loyalty to your ship and the crew. And that's just the way it is in the United States. You got to have loyalty to the United States and the people here. And if you don't have that, you shouldn't be coming in and get a free pass, you know, to housing, to a free mosque, you know. And a lot of these guys have 4 and 5 wives, turns out.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you're moving in a family of 40. Anyway, it's going to be a problem that I don't wish.
Well, personally, I think all this is going to change here.
I do too, but the problem to deal with it is not an easy one, let's face it. It's one that Donald Trump is going to have to peel away at. So, you know.
He'll deal with it.
What about that new prophecy that just came up this week? You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, there is a new Trump prophecy that came up.
Yeah, before you get into your technology, or do you want to do it afterwards?
Well, I don't really have a story on it, just that it's out there.
Okay. And you want to elaborate on it a little bit?
I really can't.
The Trump prophecy. Let me think.
I don't have anything on it.
Let me see if I can remember. Oh, it said that he was going to run for 2 terms.
Right.
He was going to, well, actually, not run, but actually be president for 2 terms.
He's going to be president for 8 years.
Right.
That's the latest
and
Trump
I
prophecy.
Told you that. Months and months and months ago.
Right.
That he would be president for 8 years before he ever won. And that afterwards, I see one of his kids running, either his daughter or as one of his sons.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Yeah.
Everybody would welcome a fresh change.
It's all in the family.
Well, if we can get somebody in there who's going to actually put the needs of the people first, there'll be such a change of pace that people will in his one of
oh,
his offspring.
Easily.
Mm-hmm.
Easily.
Yeah, and I think that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I will have a 16-year Trump run.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the United States will, once again, be incredible.
Well, I think his daughter's going to run.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's time for
all of a sudden I feel patriotic again.
I know.
You know, something
too.
That I didn't really feel before.
I felt dead inside because our representatives were so despicable.
Oh.
That I couldn't go rah rah, go team go, because
yeah.
you know, they were breaking all the rules and getting away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an atrocity.
Yeah. I could not get behind anyone in Washington.
No.
Not until Trump got in.
And then
all of a sudden I feel patriotic.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you feel like there's a chance for a chance.
Yeah, there's a chance.
There's a chance in hell, as they say.
Yeah.
Slim, but we'll take anything we can get. Crack. A crack, yes. Well, you know, it's a huge change, really. It's
mm-hmm.
a monumental change. It's a change that, you know, it cost me an investor. One of the investors in our wives was a potential investor, and I was
mm-hmm.
talking to her about how excited I was that Trump was going to reestablish manufacturing with his regulations and rules, and his also his desire to rebuild our infrastructure, and I was bragging about how he's going to help us deal with this massive immigration problem that we're all dealing with. And her response was to tell me she just agreed with everything I said. And I felt so defeated after that conversation because I felt like, well, gee, what is there to disagree with? Why don't you just tell me? You know, come back with a snappy comeback of what you disagree with. If you're going to disagree, tell me what it is, which point, where I'm off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all I say to contenders. Show me where I'm off. If you want to have a debate, debate me then. Tell me where I'm off. Just don't tell me I disagree and slam down the phone.
Well, I can tell you what it is. It's the bailouts. They're looking for another huge, enormous, multi-billion-dollar bailout.
Government bailout.
Yep.
Another
quantitative easing here.
And this time it's four.
Because they're all going bankrupt again. You know, the media, academia, you know, all these huge institutions that were bailed out with QE1, QE2. They're looking for a QE3. Okay, they're heading to Washington, hoping Obama, quantitative easing. This is where they get literally. Yeah, it's basically a bailout. And they're looking for this bailout again because these huge institutions are going bankrupt again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the party's over.
The party's over.
You know, you got to clean up and go home.
Right.
All these despicables who have been taking all the money and draining the coffers.
Yeah.
For so long.
Mm-hmm.
They are the true despicables.
Well, I think Trump is really going to do something about this national debt. I really think he's going to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's about time. Because
right.
in my lifetime, I haven't seen anybody that amounted to a hill of beans.
No.
And, you know, it was so disappointing as time went on that I became so disillusioned with the whole, you know, party system.
Yeah.
That, you know, I didn't know if I was, what do you call it, the ones who don't like any government at all, hardly.
Well, the system now is going to have to earn their way.
Did you understand what I was asking you? What's the name of that party system where, you know, they like small government? Libertarian.
Oh. Uh-huh.
You know, it got to the point where I was like, well, maybe I'm a libertarian. Well, maybe I'm a John Bircher. Well, what am I? You know, what am I looking for? Because here's my point, is that there was never, ever anybody I could call center point
mm-hmm.
on target. They're always off to the left or off to the right or off to this, you know. It's just give me somebody on point. That's all I'm looking for, somebody in the center, not wacko in any direction. Just do what is right for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, about four or five years ago, there was, I think, this one Republican, Jack Kemp,
right.
I think, they headed this small government, Republican government movement.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 or 5 years, I haven't heard a word about this. They all turned into globalists.
How much money can you pump down the toilet? You know, that's the whole problem.
Yeah.
Is that these broadcasts, first of all, let's talk about broadcasters for a moment. You know, these broadcasters you brought up that are going broke.
Yeah.
Do you know who owns the airwaves? The American public owns the airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
They are from the American public, but they're not paying us anything for them. Okay, but they're leasing them from us at $0. Okay. All right. So really, they belong to us. And we license them is what we do. And, you know, they pay a fee for their license. But really, we're saying you can use our airwaves. And I think it's despicable the way the airwaves have been used to program people to such a debased moral conflict. There's so many moral conflicts in our society right now. It's just hideous. And the next thing they want is cross-dressers, you know, using the ladies' room. And, you know, for little girls to be in there and women. I mean, where is it going to end? Where do my rights come in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to not have to put up with a lot of nonsense. Because I don't think you can really appeal to the lowest common denominator and be a successful society. You know, you can't go down to the grossest, basest level possible.
Right.
And say, this is going to be our new standard so we can accommodate these people. And go, you know, and that's not going to make your society a great place.
Mm-hmm.
That's why in like an advanced civilization, very advanced ones, they have a republic. And the republic is that you vote in your senators, your congressmen, your state representatives, your mayors, and all these people, your city council, to govern over things. That is a republic. Now, democracy is just mob rule, whoever gets the most votes. And that is not good for running a country or the planet on, because that means the lowest common denominator always wins. So that's why we have this republic that has representatives in each state.
And you represent the best interest of the people.
They're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
They are supposed to be there to safeguard the principles and make sure that somebody is going to uphold the highest standards and principles for everyone gets into office. But that hasn't been going on. We've had special interest groups who have hijacked the system for so long now,
mm-hmm.
that it's created a division in this country of the haves and the have-nots, the people who cannot find a job over $12 an hour, and the people who are out there living it up on millions. And, you know, and my God, the discrepancy is absurd when a CEO is making 1,000 times more than their employees.
Mm-hmm.
That's something wrong with that picture. Yeah, really, it is. Sick. You know, you should have profit sharing, you know, for your employees. I can see having a base minimum that isn't exorbitant, but at least you have some profit sharing for your employees. So they are part of the incentive system. And they can get ahead in life. When you have the average of 20-year-old or 30-year-old or 40-year-old here in the United States unable to even get married and have a family because they don't have enough money to buy a house and take care of their kids right, and I'm talking about that's 80% of the people out there, that is something wrong. So when there's no jobs for these people that are really on high level. So that all has to change, and Trump knows it. Trump knows it cannot continue to roll downhill the way it has. It has to be a new game in place, a game where we're on an equal playing field with China, with India, and so that, you know, if these tariffs come out, people are going to start manufacturing here again. What's seen possible here in the United States? There's a few companies that still do manufacture here, but it's very slim compared to what it used to be. And we need to just all of a sudden make these people who are at the helm, who have been, you know, absconding with all the money, really, it's greed, and make them accountable and say, hey, okay, you want to manufacture offshore for slave wages? Fine, pay this tariff of 35% when you come through the door. And then maybe you may make them think twice about, is this really the route I want to go?
Now, Aurora Tech wants to manufacture here in a good old USA.
Why don't you tell people about what we expect to do here? We expect to set up all our factories here.
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We have no interest in going to China. I'll tell
China
you that right now.
Both now go back to China.
China really bugs me, Aurora. It really bugs me.
China's boats actually go back to China completely empty.
Mm-hmm.
With nothing.
Yeah, I believe that. Because they have this huge tariff system.
So when we ship over there to the Asia, mm-hmm. we're going to be able to get great shipping rates because they've been going back empty.
Yeah. Imagine them filled with Aurora products.
Aurora Tech products. If I can just see them all.
Mm-hmm. Because Trump is going to negotiate incredible trade deals. So figure
it's not that. Really trade deals. It's tariffs. Okay, is what it is.
That's a trade deal.
Well, it's a tariff on imports. And that's going to make all the difference in the world because we've been losing massive amounts of money every year, billions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's got to stop. You know, we can't. Did you know right now Mexico has more opportunities in employment for a high school graduate than the United States does?
Oh, I believe it.
They got more factories down there right now than we have.
Right. Yeah. But that's going to change. I have a feeling that is going to change.
Well, it's good time because there's 40,000 factories have closed every month across the United States. Every year, I mean, excuse me, across the United States for the last 10 years. To add that up.
Right.
Just think how many that is. That's the average.
And we're still hearing some resistance out of Washington, but that's all going to change here, folks.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the most appalling story I ever heard was the one out of Oklahoma where the guy went there from Texas to manufacture in a small town there, and he was told, he was visited by the sheriff and some other council people from the city council and told, hey, what are you doing here, he was asked. And he says, well, I'm going to open up a nice electronics factory, employ about 25 people. It's going to be really great. I'm going to pay them really good. And they said, what are you going to pay them? And he says, well, I'm going to start them out at like $22 an hour. And they said, really? They said, well, you can't do that. They told him he couldn't pay over $9 an hour.
Yeah. Globalization.
Can you believe that one, folks? Yeah, I've never heard of such a crazy story. That the sheriff comes in and tells you what you can pay the people in that town. Who bought him off? Who told him what day it was? I don't know. Story. He actually packed up the line because he thought he didn't want to wind up, you know, shot in the back of the head. Well, you know, when somebody threatens you with that kind of thing, that you have to hire people at $9 an hour, or you're out of town, it's not going to work for you there. It's a time to pack up and leave. Just like we did Sedona, remember? Sedona was a little bit what you could call controlled as licensing when we were trying to do the Vortex tours there.
Right.
And the night vision glasses tours and stuff. And they were like, oh, no, only Pink Jeep can have it because they're owned by the Hilton Company. It's like, what is going on here? And then we quickly figured it out.
Yeah, we wanted to do Vortex tours.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it because of the laws that were in place.
Yeah, they wouldn't license.
It's a monopoly. They had literally a monopoly going on.
They
there.
Refused to give us a license. They, mm-hmm. But Pink Jeep could have a couple hundred cars out every Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
That's no problem.
Uh-huh.
But we couldn't have one out.
Mm-mm. That shows you what a lockdown there is there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's it was bad. What taxi cab business is like that too.
Mm-hmm.
It's very locked down. It's very hard to get a license to transport people. And it's hard to get a license to take people on a Vortex tour in Sedona. In fact, I was the first person to talk about the Vortex tours of Sedona and taking people there. And next thing you know, I can't even get a license to do it. But what can I say?
Mm-hmm. Well, Roar, we're at the bottom of the hour.
In my book, Prepare for the Landings, I go into a lot of this Vortex energy thing for those of you who are interested.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on our website, vortexnetworknews.com. Is it break time already?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
yeah, let's take a break here.
All righty.
And we'll be right back.
What are you playing
Vortex
today?
Network News.
What are you going to play today? And welcome back, everyone. This is VNN, Vortex Network News, broadcasting live from Scottsdale, Arizona, in the beautiful Ancala Country Club area, right here next to McDowell Mountain. And we just love it out here. Got a beautiful view of the valley, and we're rocking and rolling here tonight here at VNN. And here at Aurora Tech, we've got some new products coming out. We're so excited to tell you about. We've got our Vitality Pad. It's a bioenergy Vitality Pad. And it's going to hit the market here in January. And we're going to have a big opening here in probably February where we introduce it to the Phoenix market. And we're going to be also introducing in January another spinoff of our free energy, which is the Fast Grow, Jetson Fast Grow system for plants. And so we'll also be doing these vitality pads for horses, animals. And so it's for people, animals, and then we've got the biotech system, and then we're going to have a charger for your groceries, a grocery bag charger. You put when you bring home your groceries from the supermarket, you set them on the charger for about 5 minutes a bag, and it'll change the energy of it and restore them to more balance, because you know it can be a long trip from the farm to the table. So with our device, you'll be able to put out, it puts out a field of bioelectric magnetic energy that actually affects the whole structure of the cells of the fruits and vegetables, whatever you're buying, nuts, seeds, meat products, your water. We have a water charger and a grocery bag charger.
You know, we're also coming out with one for, you know, these water crock pots.
Yes.
That you put, you know, like your 3 gallon jugs or your five gallon jugs of water.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting in a unit, you know, for those.
Yeah. So we'll have a water charging system.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the grocery bag charging system. And then we have the biotech for the plants.
And the plants love our technology.
Yes, they
do. You know,
do.
I've been sending out to a lot of our investors here information, showing them pictures going back to where we initially planted those seeds back in middle of October, and showing monthly progress reports on those plants and how they just love this energetic technology.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious that they adore it.
Yes, they do. And so does my back. You know, with those vitality pads, If you go on long trips, folks, and perhaps many of you drive long distances or you sit in an office chair for long periods of time, those vitality pads are incredible. And I've been using one, you know, just driving around the Scottsdale, Phoenix area, and I feel energetic from those pads.
Definitely.
And it's incredible.
Yeah,
the amount of energy.
They're great. They're a great bio charger.
Uh-huh. And you see it with our plants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just love the technology.
Mm-hmm.
I love it for the back, and we're going to be putting it in these water dispensers, so you'll be able to drink this conditioned, magnetically treated water that will be easily absorbed by the body.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, water has a memory and stores this field, and that when you consume the water that has this stored field in it, man, you're going to be energetic. I'll tell you that, folks. It's going to revitalize your body. That's how incredible this technology is. I mean, it's Star Trek technology, no doubt about it.
These vitality pads will be selling for about $1,500. And for those of you who order one before they hit the general public, you get a discount of 50% off. And that is our wholesale discount that you get until we go public with these. And we're going to be offering that to our investors and those of you who step up to the plate now and order one. And you get it right off the assembly line, the one of the first ones.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be having our opening party, as I mentioned. So make sure you're on our insiders email list. And you can do that by contacting us. Tell them how you would like them to contact you to get on the insiders
email. Well, the best way to do it is to give Aurora a call.
No, because I want them on the email list. And you always tell me to tell them to email you. So give them the email address.
William.Alec@AuroraTech.us. That's the easiest way to do it. And just request to be on the list.
Okay. I would say go to the Aurora Tech page, the Aurora Tech website. Go to the contact page. Fill out the information there. And under comments, put on, you know, that you've heard us on the radio or that you'd like investor information. And make sure you put your phone number there so I can give you a call and tell you about the opportunities to get involved with Aurora Tech.
No, we stopped doing the email list on the contact list. That doesn't work.
Why didn't it work?
Doesn't work. You have to screen them, Aurora. You have to screen people that want to be on our email list. So that's the way it works.
So on the contact page, why don't you just put the phone number down if that's the way you want it?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
But not the email.
Oh.
We're not doing that anymore.
Really?
Right.
How do you stay in touch with them then?
Well, they have to be screened through you. That's how we're doing it.
And then how do you stay in touch with them afterwards? Can they get on the email with that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All
but
right.
You got to screen them first.
Because
that's the way it works.
I see. You see how particular Dr. Houdini
is. You see how that works?
He's just one of the losers on the list.
No.
You have to kick them all to the curb.
Right.
I'm his dog at the gate. Right? Am I your dog at the door?
That's right. You're my pit bull.
Yeah, I guess so.
My pet.
I don't know if I like the pit bull image, but I am the guard dog, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you get involved, is by calling. So I'll give you the number to call. And that's 480-474-4388. And go ahead and put that on your contact page. Ask for the people's phone number so I can give them a call then. And take off the other information if it's not going to do them any good. Because people want to stay in touch with us. They want to get in touch with us. And they want to know how to get in touch with us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way you prefer it. Fine. What else do we want to talk about? Well, our products. So here's a special I'm running right now, Dr. Houdini. that if you order 5,000 shares of stock right now, while we have it at $1 a share, private stock, that you get as a gift a vitality pad or a growing system. Either one for your plant or a vitality pad as an investor gift from Aurora Tech to you. Because we just want to say thank you to our investors. We have incredible people on board with us that we're very proud of. People from all walks of life, engineers, scientists, technology people, people who are patent attorneys, people who are physicists. We have all types of people on board with us right now.
Oh, speaking of patent, looks like that's going to be going through here.
Yes.
Our new patent attorney is doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very happy with
and
his work.
And he'll be talking to the patent office too, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
directly. Yeah, it was submitted, I believe, last week.
All right, so give him an email. Ask him to call the patent office and get in contact with somebody there because you have to kind of track it as it gets once it gets there and make sure it goes through the hurdles. That's what he told me he was going to do for us, so make sure he does it. So, yeah, it's all, you know, about how well you can get along with the person who rubber stamps your patent. You have to make sure all their questions are answered. And if they have any questions, who they can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
So he said he would get in touch with them personally.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I like that part about it.
Yeah.
That's important, I think.
Boy, that's patent's going to look nice, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Looks real good.
Yeah, I like his work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we
you
got the patents.
You make a copy so I can see it?
Sure.
Okay, can I see the other one, the first
well,
one?
Well, why don't you want to look at the final patent?
I want to look at the first
once
one.
Once it gets published.
No, I want to get the first one.
That's in process.
I want to see the first one, and I want to see the second submission so I can compare the difference.
Okay, so we got that in process. We're getting our products out there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we're looking at trial runs
we're
of our
technology.
We're looking
at investors, and we're looking to do some trial runs with our testing our equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be offering a deep discount for those who want to test our products out here for the first 6 months. So I'm going to be offering a 50% discount for testing our products and reporting. So it's going to be like a scientific testing where they measure and report, take photographs, those kind of things of the plant growing. The plant, let's talk about the plant growth here for a little longer. I mean, the plant growth is going to be phenomenal,
mm-hmm.
especially in the legal marijuana field.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the medicinal marijuana. Yeah.
Yeah, they make like $3,000 off a plant or greater. I was talking to a grower in Montana, I think it was Montana, who said that he's one of our investors, who said that they grow plants there 10 feet tall. Outdoors.
Okay. Now that's, you sit up there in Canada?
Montana.
Oh, Montana. Okay.
Mm-hmm. When I was talking to one of our investors there, he was telling me that.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine how many thousands of dollars they make off of one plant?
Oh, man.
My
God. Yeah. That's a huge cash crop there.
Yeah, I guess it is. Beats growing corn, I suppose.
Yeah. And could you imagine, let's say a 30-40% increase, okay, in output?
That would be amazing.
Using our tech?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that
I mean, the one grower that we talked to, he doesn't even care how much our technology costs, just so it has the yield he's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
If it does, no problem. He's mm-hmm. going to order lots of units.
Right.
So there you go, folks.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's exciting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be incredible.
So we're going to have this Vitality Pad available as well as I was talking about.
Right.
For those of you who want to pre-order at the 50% off price.
So we're going to have a few models of that available.
Right.
Regular power and extra power. Well, you know, there's a lot of baby boomers that are getting older now, you know, they're having pains and aches, And let me tell you, our technology, I think, is going to turn that around.
It's aches and pains.
Pains and aches, aches and pains.
Just to let you know. But anyway, well, yeah, aches and pains, probably our society has those.
Yes. Yes, they're not aging well, given the American diet.
Well, we have a higher rate of dementia than any place else in the world.
Uh-huh.
And that's a spinoff of the mad cow disease.
Mm-hmm.
I read an article on Dr. D's website about mad cow disease that will curl your hair. To sum it up for our audience, it was this. All the dogs and cats in the Humane Society are killed and put into vats. All their skin and fat, you know, rendering, they call it. All their meat stuff made into protein pellets with 100,000 cows a year drop dead in the United States from mad cow disease. Just literally drop dead in the field. And they're healthy one day, they look healthy, and the next day they drop dead. Okay, so they grind up these 100,000 cows a year, along with all the Humane Society's dead cats and dogs, and put them all into protein pellets. And then they feed our fish, farm-raised fish, our chickens, our cattle, our pigs, these protein pellets. And by the time an American is 80 years old, 60% of Americans will have Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
Which, reading Dr. Lorraine Day's articles, she says it's the brain turning into like a spongy, holy, has like holes in it, and it's spongy. And that's what the mad cow disease does. It slowly can kill you, or it can kill you really fast if you get a massive amount of it, you know, and you have a really poor diet, it can knock you off really quick, or it can do it slowly. Now, I have met people whose husbands died of it and stuff in Florida, and I was like shaking my head thinking, can this be really going on in the United States with no news coverage on it at all? I mean, they got time to cover all the most crazy crap out there, but they don't have time to cover mad cow disease? That's pretty amazing to me. So mad cow disease is caused by the turning a cow into a carnivore, a carnivore. It's supposed to be a grass-eating animal. It's not supposed to be eating. It's not supposed to be a cannibal. Not supposed to be eating its own flesh. Okay, so they're giving you these protein pellets to beef them up faster, you know, to make them grow faster. And so we're all getting this and all those products. And the only way we can avoid it is by eating organic chickens, organic grass-fed beef and things. It's the only way out of avoiding it. Otherwise, you know, your brain can turn to a mush with that in your system.
Yeah. So it's got to be grass-fed products. And you look for that in restaurants and products served where at Whole Foods or?
Well, you're going to have to, when you buy frozen food or you buy anything that's prepared, you're going to have to be more diligent about the source.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just pesticides and hormones anymore. We're talking about life and death.
Right. Now, with our technology, though, you know, because we're seeing this amazing growth patterns, okay, with these crops, I think that could have a huge impact because it's completely organic. There's no chemicals, no electricity. You know, it's all coming from a special field produced by our technology, nothing goes through the FDA, and you know, there's no Food or Drug Administration involved in this because we're producing a special field that plants, bioorganisms, just love this energy field. Absolutely love it. So with
also,
our technology.
We're coming out with a nutrient formula and a soil formula. I'm coming out with my own soil mixture. I've kind of downloaded it from upstairs.
Well, you know, I'm bioenergizing your KM product.
Yes.
With our technology.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you and I are taking that every day.
Right. And I will be doing a mineral product and a soil product.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, soil. That is a mixture. A special soil.
Oh, mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So it'll enhance our technology.
Yes.
Uh-huh. All the nutrients that we use and the soil that we use and our technology that we use will all three go together, and the conditioned water, of course.
Now, as far as I know, the healing process really isn't known by modern science.
So let's talk about that.
The healing process.
So today we had two young women over to the house who... one who was a bookkeeper and another one who was a businesswoman.
Right.
And they went into our guest bathroom, and where I have all those articles of me from the 80s on, newspaper articles, magazine articles and stuff. And they came out, and the gal said to me, "You look the same as you did back then." Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
From 1981.
Right.
She says, "You haven't really changed at all."
Right.
I think it's true. I think that you can clone yourself. You know, yourself
mm-hmm.
can clone themselves better than they did before. When I was a kid, I mean, I look at my diet and it was better than all the neighbor kids, but it was still pitiful compared to the way I eat today.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, my mother gave me ham sandwiches and, well, bologna sandwiches and, you know, I mean, what the heck was that stuff?
Bologna?
So she was trying to do me in. But
look, Oscar Mayer bologna, that was a staple back in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, she had some gross stuff in the fridge. She had pickled pig's feet.
Oh,
my God, looking at those. I used to put them in, way in the back shelf, way in the far back, so I wouldn't have to look at them when I was raiding the refrigerator.
What was that liver sausage that was popular back
then?
Yeah,
she always had liver sausage, and she also always had pickled marinated herring. She always had the creamed and the vinegar. And I must say, I was pretty good on crackers. That was pretty good. I did get into that pickled marinated herring. And, yeah, but she was, you know, her diet was right out of a jar most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there wasn't a lot of fresh stuff going on.
Betty Crocker was popular.
No, she never got anything out of a box. That would require work.
Oh.
Everything came was in a jar. It was ready made.
Uh-huh.
Yes. You know, no working necessary. But we had a housekeeper, you know, come in and do all the cleaning, and then she opened up a jar of something for dinner, and there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect housewife.
Now, getting back to the healing process,
now,
I would say science, our mainstream Western science, mm-hmm. you hear very little about the healing process.
Nothing
very little.
Really.
Hardly anything about it.
Yeah.
It's always the immune system, to be immune to whatever the environment throws at you. But very rarely do you hear anything about the healing process. And that's what our technology, I think, is connected to. Because our technology is going to accelerate the healing process.
You know, with...
And I think it's really connected to aging. The body's inability to heal itself, you know, promptly, mm-hmm. you know, adequately enough to fight off cancers, illness, that sort of thing. And that's what I think really ages people,
well,
you know, the aging process,
all,
is the body's inability to heal itself.
You got your chemtrail problem. You got your fluoride problem weakening your bones. You got your chemtrail problem, you know, with your aluminum in it for that Alzheimer's effect. You got your mad cow disease in your food.
Mm-hmm.
You got all your pesticides all over everything. I mean, my God.
It's an assault on the healing system, I think.
It's an assassination attempt by the government on its own people.
And we're going to supply a tool that can help that healing process.
Well, here's the deal. If you don't turn your body into a quick moving stream, you can't flush out those toxins fast enough, you know, and then they build up in your system. That creates the problem. So if your body is like a swamp rather than a quick moving stream, you're going to get toxic as heck, you know. So you notice, Bill, that over Dr. Houdini, every time we go out and I eat some kind of crazy stuff that doesn't agree with my body, you notice how immediately my body starts cleansing it from my body.
Mm-hmm.
You notice that?
Great.
Okay, that's because my body is used to being clean. But if your body is a junk pile, you know, it's got a lot of toxic matter in it, you can eat anything toxic and it won't have an effect because you're like a New York City rat. You're like used to it. So the irony is, the cleaner your body is, the more you have a reaction to toxins. So that's why you have to be cleansing all the time in our society. That's what it's going to take to keep you healthy nowadays until we can stop this assault on mankind. And it is an all-out assault. It's a part of the Agenda 21. And, you know, when we go into a healing mode, this energy pad is so incredible. When I put it on my back the first time, I was exhausted and riding in from Beverly Hills from L.A. to Palm Springs for 4 hours in a traffic jam, bumper to bumper. I put that thing on my back, and a few minutes after putting it on, it must have been like 10 minutes. I couldn't believe it. I wasn't even exhausted or tired anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like ready to go into a coma. I was so tired. I was exhausted from breathing all the carbon monoxide for 4 hours in the car. And I put that pad on. Next thing I know, I was ready to play a game of volleyball.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was amazing, the difference.
Right. So that's what we're coming out for, folks. You know, the energy pads, the plant growth accelerator, you know, our fast growth system. Then we're also working on our free energy technology.
So I'm letting a few more people in our private investor group, Dr. Houdini.
Mm-hmm.
Houdini, this is like the tail end of this.
So our free energy over unity technology, that's all in the pipeline here. That's what I'll be working on next to get those devices out. So everything is coming along great.
Oh, make sure Beverly gets her email about that she's going to get a vitality pad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll make sure you just send her a little email of that so that she has that in writing. I want her to have that. Because I just talked to her today, and she's all excited about getting one.
Okay.
So the vitality pads, yeah, you can place your orders right now. I'm going to let our investors and a few people who listen to our shows and get the memo to come in and get one of these at a discount price, a wholesale price. And you're going to be also asked to test them for us and get back with us with a testimonial in writing, because we're going to use those for our website. So, Dr. Houdini, what else is going on here? We got some stories here we want to get into, too.
Yeah. Well, we're at the top of the hour. Let's take a short break.
Okay, sounds good.
And we'll be right back.
What are you going to play this half hour?
Oh, let's see. Take Five by Dave Brubeck.
All right.
It's a classic piece.
And who was that you played last time?
That was It's a Mistake by Men at Work.
It's a Mistake by Men at Work.
Right.
When they started World War III.
Right.
All right, we'll be right back.
Which has been averted here. Okay, we'll be right back. Vortex Network News. And we're back. You're listening to Vortex Network News with your host, Aurora Light, and Dr. Houdini. Well, Aurora, we have some interesting stories here. Now, this one is quite bothersome. And it says, life in 2030, smart cities promises utopia. Now, this is Agenda 2030. Mm-hmm. This is the UN Agenda 2030, where no one really owns anything.
Yeah.
That bugs me, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know. Is ownership what they have on the higher world? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they have something beyond that. I don't know. But, you know, it does seem that this planet needs to be reorganized in some way. I don't think Agenda 30 is what I had in mind quite.
No, no. This story here was published in Tenocracy.news.
Let's hear it.
Well, it says here, Aurora, welcome to the year 2030. Welcome to my city, or should I say our city. I don't own anything. I don't own a car. I don't own a house. I don't know any appliances or any clothes. It might seem odd to you, but it makes perfect sense to us in this city. Everything you considered a product has now become a service. We have access to transportation, accommodation, food, and all things we need in our daily lives.
Like living aboard a spaceship.
One by one, all these things became free, so it ended up not making any sense for us to own much. First, communication became digitized and free to everyone. Then, when clean energy became free, things started to move quickly. Transportation dropped dramatically in price. It made no sense for us to own cars anymore because we could call a driverless vehicle or a flying car for longer journeys within minutes. We started transporting ourselves in a much more organized and coordinated way when public transport became easier, quicker, and more convenient than a car. Now I can hardly believe that we accepted congestion and traffic jams, not to mention the air pollution from combustion engines. What were we thinking back then? Sometimes I use a bike when I go to see some of my friends. I enjoy the exercise and the ride. It kind of gets the soul to come along on a journey. Funny how things never seem to lose their excitement, walking, biking, cooking, drawing, and growing plants. It makes perfect sense and reminds us on how our culture emerged out of a close relationship with nature. Environmental problems seem far away. In our city, we don't pay any rent because someone else is using our free space whenever we don't need it. Now, living in a room used for business meetings when I'm not there. Once in a while, I will choose to cook for myself. It is easy. The necessary kitchen equipment is always delivered at my door within minutes. Since transport became free, we stopped having all those things stuffed in our home. Why keep a pasta maker and a crepe cooker crammed into the cupboards? We can just order them when we need them. This has also made the breakthrough of our circular economy easier. When products are turned into services, no one has an interest in things with a short lifespan. Everything is designed for durability, repairability, and recyclability. The materials are flowing more quickly in our economy and can be transformed to new products pretty easily. Environmental problems seem far away, since we only use clean energy and clean production methods. The air is clean, the water is clean, and nobody would dare to touch the protected areas of nature because they constitute such value to our well-being. In the cities, we have plenty of green space and plants and trees all over. I still do not understand why in the past we filled all our free spots in the city with concrete. The death of shopping. I can't really remember what that is. For most of us, it can be turned into choosing things to use. Sometimes I find this fun, and sometimes I just want the algorithm to do it for me. I know my tastes better than I do by now. When AI and robots took over so much of our work, we suddenly had time to eat well, sleep well, and spend time with other concrete, or the concept of rush hour makes no sense anymore, since the work that we do can be done at any time. I don't really know if I would call it work anymore. It is more like thinking time, creation time, and development time. For a while, everything was turned into entertainment, and people did not want to bother themselves with difficult issues. It was the only last minute that we found out how to use all these new technologies for better purposes than just killing time. They live different kinds of lives outside of the city. My biggest concern than all the people that do not live in our city, those we lost on the way, those who decided it became too much, all this technology, those who felt obsolete and useless when robots and AI took over all the big parts of our jobs, those who got upset with the political system and turned against it, they lived different kinds of lives outside of the city. Some have formed little self-supplying communities. Others just stayed in the empty abandoned houses in small 19th century villages. Once in a while, I get annoyed about the fact that I have no real privacy. Nowhere can I go and not be registered. I know that somewhere everything I do, think, and dream of is recorded. I just hope that nobody will use it against me. All in all, it's a good life, much better than the path we were on, where it became so clear that we could not continue with the same model of growth. We had all these terrible things happening. Dial diseases, climate change, the refugee crisis, environmental degradation, completely congested cities, water pollution, air pollution, social unrest, and unemployment. We lost way too many people before we realized that we could do things differently. So that's Life in 2030, A Smart City Promises Utopia. Well, what do you think of that, Aurora?
Well, you know, in a way, it sounds like the way you live aboard a spaceship. Okay, so these spaceships are like massive cities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so picture being connected by like highways in the sky, these massive cities, and like a gigantic wheel the size of Earth. Okay, and all these highways going to all these different cities in this wheel that's floating in space. A gigantic, beautiful thing. So it doesn't make sense to have a lot of personal possessions because, you know, you just, it would just like junk up the ship.
Mm.
Okay. So for that reason, there is like, you do shop in a way, but most people wear kind of like a uniform. All right. There's like, if you're with, for example, if you're with, let's say, one committee, you'd wear one type of uniform. If you're with another committee, you'd wear another type of uniform so that you're easily identifiable in a crowd. Okay, so usually the outfits had to do, like, you know, like if you're in the Navy or the Army or the Air Force, they have each have their own uniform, right? Boy Scout, Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
So you can identify each other in a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's how it is up there. Unless you're off duty, then you can wear something more creative. But if you're on duty, you would be wearing whatever it is that you're wearing, to whatever group you belong to. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see your point.
Yeah. So if you're one of the, you know, and there's so many different jobs, just like there is here.
Mm-hmm.
So not everybody has an identifying marker, but some groups do. Mm-hmm. That are open to the public more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's life aboard a ship.
It's like he's describing a life aboard a ship.
A very large ship.
Yeah, huge.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're talking about ships so big they cannot even come in our solar system.
Mm-hmm.
They would upset the balance. So they have to stay out in deep space.
Hmm. Interesting. So we're looking at life in 2030 as a smart city, which could easily be a spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's describing that.
Interesting.
Yes. So you can imagine if you had like Macy's, let's say, or Nordstrom's. You went to Nordstrom's. Let's say, let's go up another few dollars. Go to Nordstrom's. Why not? So you go to Nordstrom's or Saks Fifth Avenue. You walk in there. You point out what you want to wear for the day. They already have your size in their computer. And so they make it up for you in the back room. And it's ready to pick up in a few minutes.
Hmm.
That's how it's done. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Why not? You just have the sample out there for people. And then they order it in their size.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And it's made. And then when you return it, you know, you can have a new one made just like it. Or you can get something new. But you return it for recycling.
Okay. Well, here's another story. Now, this one here was published on secretsofthefed.com, Ruins of an Ancient City Found in Antarctica.
I just heard about that on the news today.
Right.
And I asked you to pull an article up for our listeners tonight.
Well, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Kerry, mm-hmm. our Secretary of State here, took a trip down to Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if it could be connected with this story here.
I think it is.
Mm.
There's no coincidence there. He probably didn't go down there for lunch.
No. Ruins of an Ancient City. A spokesman for the company. The company. Doesn't it refer to the CIA?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. A spokesman for the company is reported to have said at the time that the U.S. government said it will seek to block the airing of a video found by Navy rescuers in Antarctica that purportedly reveals that a massive archaeological dig is underway 2 miles beneath the ice. 2 miles. Whew. The Atlantis TV production crew that shot the video is still missing.
No, that's good.
No.
When you go out on a shoot and you don't come back, that's not good. No.
Okay. Attorneys for the Beverly Hills-based Atlantis TV stressed at the time that the company's primary concern was for the safety and welfare of the crew, but they stated they would vigorously oppose any attempts to censor material that is clearly in the public interest and public domain. The icy continent of Antarctica, they point out, belongs to no nation. The U.S. has no jurisdiction there. That video is the property of Atlantis TV, said a company spokesman. We shot it ourselves, and as soon as the rightfully restored to us, we're going to air it. End of story.
Hey, stop the secrecy, man. This is so sick of this.
Right.
You know, hundreds of years of secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
Look what they did to the Grand Canyon.
Oh, yeah. The huge secret they covered up with the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Then it says here that two Navy officers who saw the tape described its contents to the National Science Foundation researchers upon their return to this Amundsen Scott Station at the South Pole. So the report sources McMurdo Station, the main American base in Antarctica, they said it showed spectacular ruins and other things that they couldn't go into, according to this National Science Foundation scientist reported. We chalked it up to some kind of sub-zero induced delusion, he said.
Okay. That sounds like the CIA at work.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a delusion.
Until a helicopter full of Navy SEALs landed and picked them up and took them off. Now, they were scratching their heads. Officials of the U.S. Naval Support Task Force in Antarctica predictably denied the story or the possession of any video shot by the missing Atlantis TV crew. Navy sources said they found the video in an abandoned supply dump 100 miles west of Vostok Station. That must be the Russian. The Russian station. Are you keeping up with the astonishing secrets of our past?
They don't want us to know a damn thing.
No, no. At least four YouTube posters think they just got, they're just lost on the continent of Antarctica. A team of researchers are claiming they have discovered three ancient pyramids on the ice covered continent of Antarctica. Exact details are sketchy, but the team has released three intriguing pictures of their discovery. The international team comprises researchers from the U.S. and several other are from various European countries. Two of the huge pyramid structures were found approximately 10 miles inland, the third not far from the coastline, clearly visible from the ocean. The team are currently planning an expedition to reach one of the pyramids to find out if it is natural or an artificial structure. No further details have been reported from the team as of the 29th of August, 2012. More news is pending. The author here is undecided on one of these guys until further confirmation. So as always, you decide. A kind of glassware in Egypt and Peru that can be bent like plastic. Screen projectors used in Egyptian temples. Screen projectors used in Egyptian temples.
Well, you're talking
with movement
about
and sound
now.
Simulation.
They are talking about Egypt, but I am talking about Atlantis.
Yeah.
This is Atlantean technology.
Artifacts and building left on the moon. Chinese records speak of trips to the moon. The Black Knight satellite. Ancient races talked about putting up satellites. An ancient underground complex discovered in Southern California that included star charts on aluminum sheets. Microtechnology found in Russia. Yeah, I heard about that one. With some objects as small as 1/1000th of an inch. Maps of an ancient world that showed Antarctica as free of ice and populated.
Yes, well, you know, see, we are, Antarctic was free of ice, and so was the Arctic in the north. Antarctic in the south, the Arctic in the north. Everyone knows that, I hope. So, now that these have been frozen for a long time, thousands of years, what they're going to find is Atlantis and Lemuria, new lost civilizations. They're going to be rediscovered. And there's a fabulous book out on that called Atlantis and Lemuria Rediscovered by Rudolf Steiner. And Rudolf Steiner is the famous educator, philosopher, futurist, who was also had the ability to channel and look backward in time. And he wrote that book. I mean, was life-changing for me. I think I read it when I was about 20 years old, and I was, like, so impressed by it. I can't recommend people enough to read that book, Atlantis and Lemuria Rediscovered by Rudolf Steiner.
Have you
look up Rudolf Steiner? You'll find he was an incredible human being.
What about this fellow by the name of Jonathan Gray? Have you heard of him? An archaeologist?
You know,
he stumbled upon something that shocked him, a whole cache of out of place items that should not exist. And they weren't just in one place, they were in a global pattern. This pattern showed a lost science and technology. This content was of tremendous value. As for machinery, did you know that the Egyptians bored into granite rock with drills that turned 500 times faster than modern power drills? In ancient America, did you know that the Chinese mapping survey of North America in 2200 BC described a sunrise over the Grand Canyon, black opals and gold nuggets in Nevada, and seals frolicking in San Francisco Bay. Deadman's Secrets is an assemblage of astonishing discoveries. A lost super science emerges from the sea floor, jungle, and desert sands of our planet. Over 1,000 forgotten secrets. Incredible things here, Aurora.
Yeah, yeah. So part of our Aurora Tech, we should have an exploratory division.
Yes, I think we should.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because you and I love exploring.
Mm-hmm.
We are born explorers.
Right. Especially, you know, with these ancient truths that are out there.
Oh, I can't wait.
You know, I think our first project.
To go to Bimini.
I think our first project should be this Grand Canyon, exposing what was there.
You can't go into it. They won't let you in. That's why nobody can go. That's why nobody's talking about it.
Mm.
It's all locked down.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get to these places.
Well,
we
maybe
can
we
go,
can get Trump to open it up.
We can go to Bimini.
Mm-hmm.
We can go to Bimini. We can start there, exposing the real truth there.
Well, I think we can lay out the case to Trump. And he'll write an executive order that'll open it all up for us.
For investigation?
Right.
Yeah, it's horrible to have Big Brother bossing you around like you're a four-year-old in nursery school.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think we're going to have to lobby Trump on this one when he becomes president.
Yes, I'm so interested in doing that, as you well know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're right up against the bottom of the hour.
Again.
We got another half an hour to go here, and we have a few more articles to cover.
Okay. Now, who are you going to play at the break?
Let's play. How about Melancholy Man by the Moody Blues?
It sounds so uplifting.
Oh, it's incredible.
Okay. Oh, I did hear that song and liked it. It was good. It has quite a message.
We'll be right back. Vortex Network News.
Hang in there, folks. Oh. Oh my God. Oh my God, Dr. Houdini. That was like a death march. I hated it. Don't ever play that again. It was so depressing. Oh my God. And you bought that album just for that song. That's what makes me want to get jump out of my chair right now. Scream. Anyway, yeah, so please, we don't need the apocalypse song.
It's a song about the apocalypse.
That's so great. It's just what everybody wants. Or,
A melancholy man.
It's really,
by
really,
the Moody Blues.
I'll tell you, they could get a little too moody, couldn't they?
Oh, absolutely.
And a little too blue.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we can skip that song. Anyway, let's move on here to some of the great stories you have to share.
All right. Well, did you know that there's a galactic gold rush going on right now?
No. What's up with that?
Tech companies aiming to make space mining a reality. They're just lining up, Aurora. The story here was published in TheGuardian.com. And it says here that many tech entrepreneurs will promise you the moon. Naveen Jain is hoping to deliver it. 5 years ago, the founder of dot-com search giant InfoSpace sets his sights on actual space, creating Moon Express, a startup with the then outlandish goal of mining the moon for minerals. Last August, Moon Express became the first private company to receive permission from the FAA to land a craft on the lunar surface by the end of 2017. It plans to launch its first exploratory mission to our nearest neighbor in the solar system. If successful, Jane's company may collect the $25 million Google Lunar X Prize, which has been promised to the first private firm to land on the moon, travel at least 500 meters, and transmit a high-definition images back to the surface, or from the surface of the moon. Jane isn't proposing to drill holes in the moon or strip mine some crater there at 18,000 feet, its tallest peak on the lunar landscape. Most of the treasure he seeks is on the ground, deposited by millions of meteors that have struck the lunar surface over the past 4 billion years. And he hates the term space mining. Mining has such a negative connotation. People think you're drilling a hole and destroying things, he says. This is more like collecting or harvesting. But Jane's ambitions are much bigger. Like other tech billionaires entering the space race, he hopes to lower the cost of space travel, help enable the colonization of Moon and later Mars, and makes a tidy little profit along the way. To rephrase John F. Kennedy, we choose to go to the moon not because it is easy, but because it is a great business, according to Jane. The second reason is the moon is a perfect training ground for going to Mars. Robots and snowballs. Moon Express is not the only company aiming to get a piece of the gold rush that's about to happen hundreds of thousands of miles above our heads. Deep Space Industries is building an autonomous spacecraft that can extract materials from asteroids and expects to launch its first experimental mission in 2017 and send its Prospector 1 autonomous craft to near-Earth asteroid by the end of the decade, says Megan Crawford, Vice President of Strategic Communications. Planetary Resources, a company backed in part by Google's Larry Page and Eric Schmidt, as well as government of Luxembourg, is also developing technology that will allow it to begin exploring asteroids starting around the year 2020. What's out there is worth mining. Every element known to mankind is virtually in infinite amounts. In 2014, the financial services site Motley Fool estimates the mineral wealth of the moon to be 150 quadrillion and $500 quadrillion, enough to create 500 million billionaires. All you have to do is just get there, Aurora. An ad, riches found inside asteroids. The sky is literally the limit. The moon, for example, is an abundant source of helium-3, an extremely rare element on Earth, and could theoretically be used as fuel in future nuclear fusion plants. Asteroids are typically chock full of iron, nickel, cobalt, platinum, and titanium. But the real gold, at least initially, is water. Many near-Earth asteroids are abundant in carbon grundites that contain a lot of ice, says Crawford. Think of the enormous dirty snowball winging around the sun at 55,000 miles an hour. Now imagine landing a robot on that snowball, then extract the ice and haul it away. Water's is the fuel of space, according to Crawford. Constituent parts of liquid oxygen and hydrogen, that's rocket fuel. We're also working on technology that uses superheated water itself as propellant. More than 90% of the weight of modern rockets is fuel. Well, as far as I can say, Aurora, we're not going to be using any of those technologies. We're going to be using warp drive to move around the solar system. And that's what we're developing here at Aurora Tech, is, of course, warp drive technology.
It's amazing they don't have that from all the back engineering they've been doing at Area 51 for the last 50 years. I mean, why don't they have it?
Why don't they roll that out, huh?
Yeah. Why aren't they rolling it out?
Well, they're still keeping that a big secret, aren't they?
Area 51 now for decades,
mm-hmm.
Cloning everything that they got off the grave, and who knows what other ET groups they've managed to abscond stuff with. But, you know, the Federation, they've never gotten any of our technology because we never crash.
Mm-hmm.
We're way too advanced for that. We could have cloaking devices and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't even catch us if they wanted to. We can put a cloaking device around any ship instantaneously. Try and fight an invisible target. Got me?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little difficult.
So all these billionaires, they're all fooling around with this ancient rocket tech.
Well, that's because...
Which is dangerous. Damn dangerous.
Our planet's been culturally quarantined mm-hmm. from these more advanced worlds. They've been deliberately keeping this planet at a low ebb because of the debased characters of our leaders. They don't want them to have the technology to go to other worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And become a menace in outer space.
Well, speaking of their other technologies, I'm going to be giving a lecture at the Aerodeath Manufacturing Expo that's coming up March,
see,
first week in March.
This technology has been closely guarded till now
mm-hmm.
because now is the time for it to emerge into society with Trump at the helm.
Right.
Being able to protect.
Yeah, it's all timing, folks, all timing out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Trump coming into power is no accident. And along with the rise of Aurora Tech and our advanced Star Trek technology that we're going to be rolling out here very soon, I mean, things are going to change very rapidly. And then, of course, I had this opportunity to speak at the upcoming Aerodeath Manufacturing Expo that's going to be held in Fort Worth, Texas.
Let's talk about that.
In March.
What's
so you can look that up on the Aerodeath, Aerospace Defense Manufacturing.
There you go.
So it's a very prestigious expo that's
now,
coming
have
up here.
Do you have a banner up on our website about that?
You know what? I plan to do that this week.
Okay.
So I'm going to roll that out, a lot of our information on our website.
Good. You better get to
this week. And so I had this very exciting
quite
lecture.
An honor
I've been
for
invited
you
to speak. Yeah,
quite
it
an
is.
Honor, Dr. Houdini.
And I have an excellent speaking time, a slot that they gave me.
So look us up on Vortex Network News this coming week. Dr. Houdini will have it up there on the front page.
And I'll be talking about this huge move away from this antiquated rocket technology. I mean, I'm going to bring us all right up to date here with the latest technology for interstellar travel, okay, which is what I'm going to be talking about, warp drive technology, which can very rapidly become a reality.
And then I want you to end the talk with them. We're looking for backers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, because I want some big money coming through the door in the next 60 days after that conference.
Right, exactly. So it's going to be a very exciting time here.
The stock will go up to $100 a share at that conference, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to generate some very serious interest.
I do, too.
Because I'm going to present it in such a way that it'll be fairly easy to understand.
Right, that everyone will get it.
Backed up with science. Not only science, but the experiments that back up the science.
The physics.
Yeah. And that's what you do not see in mainstream science today.
Right.
And I'm going to lay it out. I got 20 minutes to lay it out. 20 minutes.
To change the world.
Yeah, I got to change the world in 20 minutes.
That's it.
I think I
can
do it.
God got 7 days. You get 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, he created the world. You just have to flip it.
Right. And so, you know, I gave this lecture last year, but I'm going to condense it down to a form that's going to be extremely digestible.
Very dynamic and to the point.
Exactly. It's going to be to the point. And say, yeah, we can do this, backed up. We not only have the science, but also the experiments that back up the science.
And you're
not going to find that with mainstream science.
You're going to start it off with, I'm here today to talk about something that I have spent a lifetime studying and developing. And now I'm ready to present to you here today in this room.
Mm-hmm.
The truth about anti-gravity and free energy.
Right. Are you going to stand there with me, Aurora?
What do you want me to do, Wade?
Yeah. I want you cheerleader.
Yes.
Yeah.
I could introduce you.
Uh-huh.
I could introduce you and say...
Well, we'll probably have someone introducing me.
Right. Right. We'll have someone introducing you.
Mm-hmm.
And... But you might want to introduce me at the end of it, but I'll be at my seat and you'll just ask me to stand.
Right. Yeah, good point. Very good point.
And then when they're on the way out, I'll sit in the back near the door. So on the way out, I can hand them a card or something.
Right. But I only have 20 minutes to lay it all out.
Right. So I don't want to take up any of your time.
So it's going to be a condensed PowerPoint presentation.
Right.
To the point.
And then you'll introduce me.
I think 20 minutes will be plenty of time to get the point.
Tell them to get in touch with me for special projects and private investors. And then they'll ask me to stand up. I'll stand up. I'll wave my hand. Everybody will come by and see me after.
Right. And so we'll probably get a booth there at the expo.
Right.
So for people to meet and greet.
You've got to give me the number for me to call them tomorrow. Set that up.
I plan to show our anti-gravity and warp drive technology there in kind of a model form. And I'll be showing videos of experiments demonstrating the actual experiments that back up the science.
Okay.
So I'll have an incredible presentation in March.
All right.
Yeah. So if any of you are in the Texas area there, around the Fort Worth, Texas area, be sure to check us out.
We
do.
We want to come and see you.
Yeah, great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We got a lot of Texas investors.
Uh-huh.
Half a dozen of them or something.
Very good. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. One of our first investors, Matt, was it Panther? He is from there. He's from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
In Austin. And then we got all these Texas people came in afterwards.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah, so.
They can stop by our booth, check us out, meet and greet.
They're going to love it. See if you can get some free tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and booth passes and all that.
Right. Yes.
I got to call up to the goodie package. I'm good at getting the goodie package.
Uh-huh. So I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
So it's a two-day drive.
Right.
Bring a whole booth full of stuff and a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a two-day drive.
Yes.
To do the hustle into Texas.
Uh-huh. But it'll be fun, though.
Yeah.
I enjoy going to these expos.
Why don't
expos?
We go a couple days early so we can relax before the
You know,
event.
That's a good point, yeah.
I don't want to get there and all fried out and have to play the game, you know, right out of the chute
mm-hmm.
after a two-day drive across the country.
Right.
I need a day off, in other words, before it starts.
Right. Well, we did that with the Pasadena show,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I like a day off before it starts so I can relax a little bit, find the nearest Whole Foods.
Right. TJ's and Whole Foods, right.
Well, I can look on. I'll Google all that. But anyway, I might have to pack a lot of stuff. You never know. Where is it? Fort Worth?
Fort Worth.
That should have everything.
Which neighbors Dallas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fort Worth is the wealthier part of Dallas. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's a high-end area. So it should be pretty nice. It should have a Whole Foods and all that stuff right there. At our,
mm-hmm.
So I don't think we will be too far away from civilization.
So Roy and I are going to be there shaking up the establishment.
Yay.
With a can-do attitude. We know how to do this. See, that's our motto here at AuroraTech. We know how to do this. And it seems so complicated, you know, with the mainstream. With mainstream science, you can't get to where AuroraTech is at today. You can't get there with the science.
It's a degree off.
The science is so far off.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. But it can be brought on track. Mm-hmm. You just have to wind back the clock back to the 1920s
mm-hmm.
to get you back on the right track. And, of course, Hodson pretty well lays it out on his paper, you know, on how to do that. It's a tough track to take, but mainstream science can get there. So we can have anti-gravity and warp drive technology. It's not that outrageous once you understand the correct science that's behind it. And we're going to show that at this expo.
Well, it's the physics is really what you're describing.
Right.
The physics behind it. That's a branch of science that you are changing, really. You're changing the physics equation.
Okay. Okay. Dr. Aurora.
Yes.
Dr. Houdini and Dr. Aurora.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we're gonna have a lot of fun there, I think, with the establishment. The belly of the beast. It'll be fun. Rubbing elbows.
Well, let's put it this way. They're all old and gray now, most of these good old boys from the Good
right.
Old Boy Network.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're ready for something new.
Right.
They want something new.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, been there, done that.
Yes. Well, you know, they're at the threshold of their technology. You know, when you look at rockets have been around for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
They're very dangerous to work with. I mean, the mishaps that many of these billionaires have had trying to launch something into orbit,
mm-hmm.
it's a miracle any of those rockets work at all getting off the pad. And
like
many of them have resorted. Yeah, exactly. It's a controlled explosion.
Exactly.
That's what a rocket is. A rocket motor is a controlled explosion,
mm-hmm.
and it's very difficult to control that explosion.
Firecracker.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's very dangerous technology. And, I mean, look at all the mishaps that occurred with Elon Musk and many of these space entrepreneurs just trying to get something into orbit. It's very difficult to do.
Well, the answer is obviously anti-gravity.
Exactly.
Levitation.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't levitate it, you got nothing.
Right. And then what follows after levitation is, of course, the warp drive technology. That was all laid out back in the 1990s.
If you don't have levitation, just stay in your own neighborhood.
Well, that's right.
If you don't have levitation, just stay close to Earth.
Mm-hmm. If you can get into orbit.
If you want to go into orbit, you better have warp drive and levitation.
So, yes, Aurora Light and I will be there. I believe it's the first week in March. You, the listener, can look up. It's called Aerodeath. Aerodeath. Aerodeath .com, I believe.
I'm going to insist we go to Florida after that for a week.
No, we got to come back
and do phone calls.
Right back. Yep, we got to get back into the saddle.
When do I get to go to Florida, to my favorite beach?
Eventually.
God, never again, probably.
Yeah, you can retire there.
All right, thanks so much. Well, I get to go in July or August, don't I?
When you turn 130.
Oh, thanks so much. Hey, listen.
With our rejuvenation technology?
Hey, look, I want to get there this summer for sure with you.
Right.
I got to take you to my favorite places.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's get back on track here. So this event is called again, and some people can look it up.
Aerodeath. I'm going to put it up there on the website and then announce it to all our people.
And the website you should go to is vortexnetworknews.com. Go to vortexnetworknews.com. And, you know, folks, I've been in doing radio for quite some time. Before I met Dr. Houdini, I did it for 20 years. All over the nation. And I want you to know that if you Google the top 50 truthers on the radio in the United States, you'll see I'm number 18 with over 3.5 million listeners. I want you to tell your people all about us and what we're doing here at Vortex Network News, because we depend on you and your connections to bring in new people. Let everyone know. And you'll see that whole list of the top 50 truthers in the United States on the radio. I suggest you check them all out, because news and views are what it's all about. When they're accurate, that's everything, isn't it? And I'll tell you, there's a lot of BS out there. The Dr. Houdini and I and the science community, the physics community, all had to wait.
Aurora, we're out of time.
We're out of time. Thank you for being with us this week.
And have a great week, everyone.
Yeah,
or buckle yourself in. We're taking off.
Thank
we'll you. See you next week, folks. Have a great week.